to Steam Powered Scoundrels, a Malifaux podcast.
Episode 5, Weird Likes Butts.
Hi everyone.
I'd like to make a couple apologies before we start this episode. First off, I'd like to apologize for taking so long to bring this one out. We just ran into some complications with the audio, and honestly, I was being really way too lazy. But this shouldn't happen again, and we should be on a more regular release schedule. Now, for the second apology, the audio for the first segment ended up being really, really, really bad to the point where I just left it out of this episode. So, we don't go over hobby progress or news or anything of that like, and besides, at this point, it's pretty old. So what we have is the second segment where we go over the masters for the guild, and the third segment where we go over the new models we came up with. Alright, thank you very much. Enjoy the show.
Lord of the Dance, Sandy.
He looks like he could really cut a rug, Sandy.
Right? He looks like he'd be amazing in some Bollywood number. Every time you play him now, you have to start with that going.
Oh my god. Okay. Welcome back to Steam Power Scoundrels, our second segment going over Guild Masters. And the new Masters a little bit. But first I want to mention this. This might get people actually writing in and giving us and talking to us. I have the Sandeep box, yes.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yes.
Yes. You know what Bonasuma looks like, right?
Absolutely.
Dave?
Yeah.
So, I like the artwork that they have for Bonasuma. I like the color scheme. But the problem is that I'm a bit of a hipster and can't paint what they provide in the artwork.
Oh, no.
I want my own color scheme.
Oh no.
You're giving it away. I've already told Victoria this, so. Yeah, he's got like the genie blue going on, plus parts of him that are on fire. But then I thought of a way to creep my opponent out and make Bonasuma extremely interesting. I figured I would paint him flesh colored. Like just a normal giant forearm dude. And then go over him with a gloss varnish, making him covered in oil.
Ah, so he'd be like a Hakan from Street Fighter 4.
He'd be an oil wrestler, yeah.
Or really super sweaty.
You know those things. Regardless, just giant forearmed dude.
Who glistens.
He just glistens in the sunlight. Making everyone uncomfortable.
He's just a Turkish delight.
So if you think I should do that... Listeners, internet, please get a hold of us, and I will definitely paint it if we get some feedback on it.
And post pictures.
You've got my vote.
So, alright.
Dave. I'm assuming Victoria wants this as well.
Kind of. As much as the first time I thought about it, and I went, oh.
The only other thing I would want to maybe do, considering, is like ludicrous amounts of body hair. But I'm not sure how I'd do that modeling-wise. So also, if you know how to do that, get a hold of us.
Steel wool?
We'll think about it. Yeah, we'll think about it. But anyways, getting back on topic, we're going over the Guildmasters, and holy shit, there are a lot of them.
There are 13!
We have 13 Guildmasters we're going to be ranking. So here's all of them, if you don't know. Mind you, again, that they have to be plastic is our only real limit.
Our rule.
So we have Douglas McMorning, the Douglas McMorning vintage model that people will actually be able to get soon. I think they gave him out at Gen Con, you know, for all those rich people that can afford to go there. They, like, randomly gave out models. I think some of the vintage ones were in there. But their Guilders program will allow people to get them. In September. I probably should have put that in the news. Oh well.
Yeah. Oh well.
So, McMorning, Vintage McMorning, Dr. Dufresne, the female alt McMorning, Lady Justice, Perdita Ortega. Perdita Ortega, you doing the gun kissing thing, alt model, and I considered that to be a big enough difference between a regular model to include it as opposed to Karis.
Yep.
Then Sonya Crid, Vintage Sonya Crid. C. Hoffman, Lucius, McCabe, Rollins Black from the new Wild Ones Nightmare Edition, and Nellie Cochran. So that's 13.
That is 13.
So we've got a ways to go. So we decided Dane would go first. Get the really bad list out of the way.
The worst list.
The most awful list.
Yeah, it's just terribly awful.
I think in the last pod, no, not the last podcast, the one before that, when we went over the Neverborn, the ones that consistently ranked the lowest for me were the McMorning models.
Neverborn.
Or not Neverborn, Resurrection.
Okay.
So the one before the last one, the one before the last one you were in.
Yes.
Episode 2.
Episode 2.
Yeah.
Read the title.
So basically, yeah, the McMorning crew is still on the bottom with McMorning Vintage dead last.
Hey, you're right on one.
And then standard McMorning.
Mm-hmm.
Just not my style. And then Dr. Dufresne.
Wow.
Because it could be mistaken for a nurse, which I think we discussed in the last time we talked about that model.
Which I still disagree with.
The nurses are obviously trying to be extremely sexy.
Super sexy.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'm thinking more of like a performer from Colette's crew. The big poofy dress and all that. Just doesn't really do much for me. And then I know
hang on one second. So this is an audio format, so nobody saw the look Doug and I just gave each other.
We're doubtful of you, Dave, but it's your list, so keep going.
Hey, that's fine. I know both of you will enjoy this. After that, at 10, is Nelly. out of her box, Gage looks more like a master.
She does really blend in well with the reporters.
Yeah. After that, Lucius, just kind of a, whatever pose. 8, I have Sonya Creed Vintage. I think they picked the wrong pose to bring back. The fireball pose looked way cooler.
Well, I will admit, though, that I thought she was, like, holding a wand or something in that render, but I went and looked at the models since then, and she got a big old sword on her back, which actually gives her a lot more coolness.
I still like the fireball more.
That's fine.
You can like what you like.
Yeah, after that I have regular second edition Perdita. She could pass as an alt female gunsmith.
There is a female gunsmith.
I know. She could be an alt for that.
Why? No, she can't.
Why would there be an alt of the already female gunsmith? Who is a minion, by the way.
Not that. Gunsmiths have
way more guns.
Make your statements.
It's just she was a plain, you know, bandit-looking person with a gun. Where, who was it? Santiago looked way more like a master to me. Just, you know, looking very boisterous. Like, hey, I'm in command here.
That's kind of part of the fluff, too, though.
Well, I'm going off of the look.
Time out. We'll fight about this in my list. Because I have a completely different number.
I know. But yeah, just going off of, not going off of fluff, not going off of anything like that, just from the raw models looking at the back of the boxes.
Okay.
What was that? That was Perdita. There we go. Okay. At 6, I have Sonya Crid. The model looks way better than the vintage, I think. Has a bit more attitude to it. After that, I have Lucas McCabe, because it kind of looks like a cool... the models are pretty dynamic on and off the horse. And you can do a lot with the models provided. I've seen some pretty cool ones. After that, it's probably going to be more controversial. I have C. Hoffman ranked up there pretty high. With the box, it's pretty easy to tell he's the leader. It's not the most dynamic pose, but going off the criteria of does it look like they're in control? Yeah.
What number is this?
4.
Huh.
Hmm.
So, top 3, I've got Perdita Gunkiss. Goes back to the master, I think, needing some sort of flair or style to stand out more, which the Gunkiss looks way more masterish than the stock. I have at 2... I have Lady Justice.
Lady J.
It's a really cool pose. It's way better than the first edition model.
Let's not talk about first edition Lady J again.
Yeah, it's still revealing, but not just holy crap. And then number one, I have Rollins Black, because that whole box is awesome. They really did a really good job on that. And yeah, everybody who builds that box needs to just make that motorcycle popping a wheelie. Because you have to.
We're going to fight so much on Doug's turn.
Fucking fight me, come on.
Come over to our house and come fight Doug.
Yeah.
All right, so my turn then.
Victoria's turn.
Because you're going last again?
It was also wrong.
Excuse you, no.
I'm never going to get sick of this joke of calling everyone wrong.
It's kind of part of our podcast now, where Doug calls everybody wrong.
Uh-huh.
Number 13, I have the McMorning Vintage model. He's ugly. I hate him. Deal with it. Number 12, I have McMorning. Because, again, I'm just not a fan of his sculpt. Especially for Gilt. How do you explain that head on a platter? Anyway, 11? Yes, I'm on 11.
Yep.
I have Dr. Dufresne, because unfortunately she is boring. We'll get into this more on Doug's turn, I guess. Then I have vintage Sonya Crid. Just because all the pictures I see of her, I cannot figure out how she is standing. It is ridiculous. I have seen, like, 5 or 6 different pictures of Sonya Crid, from the render to what her model was, and I still have no idea how that woman is posed. After vintage Sonya, I have Lucius. Then I have C. Hoffman. I think I have him lowest of all of us. I just don't think he's that interesting. And given that I'm not really going based on who looks like a master in their box, and I'm just going by who I think looks cool, he's pretty low. After that, and this will surprise everybody, I have Nellie Cochran.
What?
I like her pose. I think she's actually a really cool model. The only problem I have with her is her stupid, punchable face. Her face just is the worst part of that model for me. Otherwise, I think her pose is nice. I think she's very indicative of what she is supposed to be, which is head reporter or whatever. But we'll get into her later. After Nelly, I have McCabe. I think he's neat. Honestly, I haven't seen his model off the horse. I've seen his horse model.
Oh, we can look that up real quick.
Yeah, go ahead and look that up for me, please. I probably should have asked you before I made my list. Cracking the whip?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, he's pretty neat. I think he's cool. Yeah. So he belongs kind of up there. After McCabe, I have what everybody's calling Gun Kiss Perdita. I think she's actually looking like she's blowing over the top of her gun to blow away smoke. But we'll go with that. She's making out with the gun. Fine. After Gun Kiss Perdita, I have regular Perdita, because I do actually like her model. After her, I have Lady J. After Lady J, I have regular Sonya Crid, because you can't get much cooler than a flaming sword. And then at the very top of my list, I also have Rollins Black. So, you know.
Oh!
Nope. 2-1. That's right.
Because you're both wrong.
he was also wrong last time with Neverborn.
I mean,
both of us picking Pandora Vintage as number one.
I mean, I will throw out there, the Rollins Black off the motorcycle is a very strange pose. He looks like he's about to fall over. I'm getting a thumbs up from Doug here, so that's good. It's a very strange pose that they've put him in. I'm not really sure that I like it, but the motorcycle, to me, makes up for it enough that I'm willing to look past the just standing weirdly like he's about to fall over.
I would put him higher on my list if they come out with the fluff and say he's perpetually drunk.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
So, oh, yeah, that explains why he's almost falling down.
Because he's drunk.
Because he's almost falling down.
He's not used to being on foot.
His legs have atrophied.
He's got...
What? Are you trying to think of something?
There was a phrase I was looking for, but I lost it, so never mind.
Okay.
Sea legs. He's got sea legs.
There we go.
Anyway, so Doug's turn.
Anyway, Doug's turn.
The wrong one. The wrongest one.
The different one, therefore the correct one.
The wrongest of the wrong.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, do your list.
Okay. Dead Last, Douglas McMorning.
That's fair.
M2E Douglas McMorning with a head on a platter.
That's fair.
Because I cannot figure out any way where he would, with that sculpt, how he could be in the guild, and they wouldn't.
like, immediately go, what are you doing?
Why do you have a hat on a platter? We've got over this before.
You can't do this.
Why do you keep bringing body parts to this fight? I just can't.
You're fired.
I'm very glad we're going to be done with this and not complaining about Douglas McMorning anymore.
Ever again. No, we're going to complain about McMorning some more. I mean, it's going to happen. Anyway.
Number 12, Dr. Dufresne.
Also fair.
Pretty bland. Not much going for her.
I will still fight you if you say that she could be confused for a nurse or a performer.
I did not say that.
I know you didn't.
Oh, okay, yeah, we're getting back into that fight.
We're getting back into that fight. Because Dave is wrong.
That's fine.
She doesn't look like a nurse. I mean, if you're talking about Nurse Hartsbane, sure, okay, whatever. But a regular nurse, no.
Yeah, not the Neverborn, like, sexy nurse.
That's Resurrectionist.
Resurrectionist!
Yeah, sorry.
Resur-sexy nurse.
They're all the same to you, aren't they?
Yeah. It's not Arcanist, so they're all Neverborn.
I think part of her sculpts gets dragged down a bit by how much I dislike McMorning.
That doesn't help.
Man, from what I've seen, he seems to be a fun character to play, but I just, that sculpt and that head. Number 11, Lucius.
Really?
Yes.
He's down that far for you.
Yeah.
He's not much higher for the rest of us.
He's not really an exciting model, no. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Bland.
Yeah.
I kind of like the fluff. I might put him a bit higher, maybe. I don't know. This list was a bit less planned out for me than others. Number 10, Vintage McMorning, and I had changed this.
He needs to be much lower.
Unlike Dr. Dufresne, I mean, Douglas McMorning, he looks like he'd be in the guild without arising as much suspicion. And he's more dynamic than Dr. Dufresne.
It's an ugly model.
I can't necessarily say that he's an ugly model without actually seeing the model. We're going off the render here. And some people have gotten some of the models out. So maybe my opinion will change or be like, oh yeah, that is really, really ugly. Everyone was right and I was wrong. I'll admit to that. But right now we're just looking at the render and some of the details you can't pick out, like how we thought that Sonya had, like, a wand and was casting some sort of magic, and then we find out that it's a sword.
Okay, I still think you're wrong, but you're making fair points.
I mean, he's threatening people with what I'm hoping is just a prostate exam.
I'd be terrified if I saw my doctor.
That is pretty terrifying.
Yeah! What are you doing? Why does the glove go that far up your arm? Why does it need to go that far up your arm?
Why are you smiling like that while you're putting that glove that far up your arm?
Jesus. Moving on, and trigger warning. Number 9, Rollins Black.
Wrong.
I will say, the model on the bike, pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Does not look like he should be in the guild at all.
None of those models do.
None of the Nightmare models.
Yeah.
Well, I'll give Nightmare Terra, because she's just meh.
Yeah. So
but
hot.
None of them in this Rollins box look like they belong in the guild.
No.
They look like steampunk Mad Max.
Like, if you were like, oh, guild's just experimenting with, like, steampunk stuff, I could see the guild, right, the mounted guard.
But not Rollins?
But not, no. He looks too much like a pirate. Which is awesome. Stand alone, he is freaking awesome. But I'm just associating him with a bit too much the guild. And also the stumbly model is just... I just don't like the way he's falling over.
It looks like the model is trying to make it look like he's trying just bringing the chain out.
Yeah, like he's whipping it out.
He's leaning so far back, though.
Yeah.
It just looks like he's about to just topple onto his back.
I'm sorry.
And I mean, like I was discussing, yeah, no, I totally get you with the toppling overness of the off his motorcycle now.
Excuse me.
But I still just think he's cool enough on the motorcycle. Also, I gotta put it up there because, I mean, look at Cherry Bomb.
But Cherry Bomb, we're not talking about Cherry Bomb.
I know, but she's in his crew.
Actually, if we're looking at the dismounted Rollins Black, I would rather Cherry Bomb be the master in that.
Yeah?
So if we were just strictly judging it by the motorcycle, yeah, he'd be higher. I 100% agree, he would be higher. It's that dismounted model that's bringing it down for me, and he's a bit too piratey for the kill. It's the reason why, you know, that's why Douglas was so low.
That's fine.
This is how my brain works.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I can see your point. I still think it's going to be a super fun thing to see on the table.
Right?
No, that's cool. Yeah.
You were talking about wanting him because... But anyway.
Yeah, no, I would prefer to run him as, like, Ten Thunders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's dual faction, so he doesn't necessarily have to be on the... Anyway.
But then I would just get the regular McCabe box and run regular McCabe with... Anyways. With Gil.
Moving on!
Yeah. Details.
Another fighting point. Number eight. Still on the back end of the list. Gun Kiss Perdita.
And I'm going to just state again that I think it looks more like she's blowing on her gun rather than kissing it.
I think that's the idea.
I mean, I think she's really cool, but if she bothers you, that's kind of...
Not going to...
What's your problem with Alt Perdita?
I prefer the
shooting one?
The shooting one. I just... This one's hard for me to explain.
Is that more of a fluff reason?
I'm gonna get a bit social justice warrior here and just say the regular Perdita just seems a lot more powerful.
Okay. Yeah, I can see where the pose would be problematic from
I don't want my Perdita to be sort of girly and sexy. Yeah.
Sexualized? You think she's ever sexualized?
No.
The gun kiss pose?
Just less sexualization makes them better in my mind.
Okay.
It's why Lee J's... Anyways.
Okay.
It's a little bit more dynamic, but just what she's doing is a little...
It bothers you?
It just bothers me a bit.
She is kind of a... She is kind of in a really, like, look at my butt pose. And... Excuse me.
What's up, Dave? Don't agree?
No, my neck hurts, actually. No, I can definitely see where you're coming from. I felt she had more style with that pose than the shooting pose.
I think from a style point, I think she looks better.
It's you're right, she has more style, but it's the wrong kind of style in my book.
I could see that. But then again, coming from seeing other models like Rotten Bells and a lot of the other resurrectionist hypersexualized models, it's not that uncommon for weird.
They're kind of thematic with them, though.
It is.
Because Seamus is kind of a Jack the Ripper guy, and Jack the Ripper did mostly go after whores, so it makes sense.
Oh, and then I'm also looking at the female gunsmith, who is basically wearing...
She's got that little crop top and the... Yeah.
Yeah.
That fits my personal fluff, because I always think that my gunsmiths just want to distinguish themselves from Guildguard.
Yeah.
So my gunsmiths are in bright colors, and in the girl's case, she's got an abdomen showing and some bubble gum she's chewing.
Yeah.
And her arms fall off. But I fixed them. Anyways.
Honestly, though, the female gunsmith's pose is not, like, look at my butt and look at my boobs, and it's not a sexy pose. You can take issue with the clothes she's wearing, but it's entirely possible that that's what she's choosing to wear because she's hot. But anyway.
Yeah, no, that's not how you aim guns. I do have a bit of a problem with that.
No, she's definitely not aiming those guns correctly.
No.
Yeah, now going back, we actually looked up she's blowing the smoke off the barrel.
Yeah.
Yeah, the artwork probably shows it.
But a lot of that pose is dedicated to showing off her butt.
Yes, it is. That is a lovingly sculpted butt. But Weird does that with, like, all of its models, where the butts are
Weird
just...
Weird likes butts.
Weird really likes butts.
Whereas... That's going to be the title of this episode, Weird likes butts.
Weird likes... Yep. Weird does like its butts. Whether it's on a female model or a male model, like I said, they lovingly sculpt those butts.
I mean, the butt on this union worker is well sculpted.
Right? Like, Seamus's butt is really nice.
Yeah.
Hey, you said that the title of the episode is going to be Weird Likes Butts, so we got to talk about butts.
Yeah, all butts of all kinds.
Yeah, we don't...
Cujo's butt.
We don't just...
Oh, yeah. Kojo's got a badonk.
Kojo, not Cujo.
It's a fine mistake. Oh my god.
Do you regret this yet?
No. I just remember, like, every time I'm painting a model,
right.
Like,
and he, I'm painting his butt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did the same thing. This is butt.
Okay.
We got to all of eight for you.
Yes, all of eight, and horribly sidetracked. Number seven, Nellie Cochran. Right in the middle.
I have Nellie at seven, too.
Hey, nice.
That's surprising.
Nothing about her stands out, but there's nothing I hate. Except for her stupid punchable face. Which I'm not qualifying, because you could probably modify it somehow, like...
Put a mask over it?
Yes! She's part lawyer. Yeah.
She's part lawyer? Nellie is part lawyer?
I don't know, she just didn't stand out to me compared to the other reporters.
No, she really doesn't. But this is like, hey, I don't hate this. I don't have something that I really hate about this model kind of thing.
Yeah, and seven is like exactly in the middle of the list, so it's not... What?
This is not a ton I really hate about Lucius either. My list is imperfect, but still correct.
Nellie's at least kind of got a running thing going on, so she's a little bit more dynamic than Lucius is.
Yeah, and I guess Lucius would be hired strictly because of his fluff, which we're trying not to include here.
I just go by whatever I feel, so...
That's fine.
I'm not bound by rules.
Nellie Cochran, everyone. Exactly average.
Yeah, basically.
And from everything I've heard, is going to be just not fun to play against.
Right.
Yeah.
Her card just looks like she will be...
You should go, because Kyle does a review of it. Kyle Bodie.
Kyle Bodie of Schemes and Stones.
Coyote on the forums.
You have to say his whole name.
Have to say the whole... That is his whole name. You gotta
that
change.
That is his legal name.
Kyle Bodie from Schemes and Stones. Coyote on the forums.
Yep. It's a legal document.
Where was I?
We were talking about Nellie, and I think it's time to move on.
Yeah, Kyle did a bit of a breakdown on Nellie, and made her seem even worse. Moving on, number six, Vintage Sonya. She's kind of cool looking. She more or less looks like she leads her crew. There's a bit of a discrepancy there with her and, oh geez, I used to love his model. Not forget.
Samael. Samael.
Hopkins. Giant sword's pretty cool. Blah, I just kind of like her, so she's above Nellie.
I'm not a huge fan of the Sony vintage, like I said before. I'm having a really hard time picturing how she's standing. I think maybe if I see the actual model, I might be a little bit more favorable towards her. But as it stands, I'm like, girl, what is going on with you?
Magic. Clearly. She has magical hips.
Magical hips, and her legs are on backwards.
I like that she's wearing clothes.
She is wearing clothes. She
as
has
opposed to Lady J or the original.
Surprising from first edition.
Yeah. Moving, I just don't have much to say about her, sorry.
Yeah,
everyone.
There's not a ton. Yeah,
moving on! Lady J.
Lady J!
Wow.
Five.
Mostly for that midriff. But that's still, she's in the hires. She's higher up. The crouch.
You don't like the crouch?
Not really. I like Sandeep's crouch, but her crouch is just...
It's very Kung Fu movie-y.
Yeah. I was gonna say, it reminds me of like Kill Bill kind of thing.
Or something similar, yeah. I have her pretty high because she's such an improvement over Wave 1, or ME1.
You could only go up from that model.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I don't know. Plus, I mean, she's holding that sword like she knows how to use it, as opposed to several other models.
That really don't.
That look like they're, like, modeling the weapons, as you've pointed out several times.
Some of the Ronin kind of do that.
I think there's only one Ronin who's holding their sword kind of weird. The other is pulling it out of the sheath, and the other has it, like, in front of her, and she's got her...
Using it as a prop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A kickstand.
Vic of Blood definitely has a weird thing going on with her sword, but...
How else are you supposed to see her underboobies?
Right? how else are you supposed to see her underboobies and her visible thong?
Yeah, I'm glad they gave her a coat.
God!
the original art, she didn't have a coat.
Who?
Ashes of Blood.
Vic of Blood?
Or, yeah.
So she was, like, just totally topless?
No, she just had, like, straps.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, goodness. So she's still an improvement.
Hooray!
Yeah, because I was looking at artwork for that one, and I'm like, oh, wow.
Wow, what is going on here?
Yeah, they gave her a tiny jacket, because the first art was real bad.
Thank you, weird.
Thank you for improving, even though it's still wrong. Still miles away from what we really want to see on somebody who's getting into sword fights.
So yeah, the crouch and the midriff is only my only real complaints about
complaints.
Lady J. She seems to be late in her box. I mean, her box is so freaking cool.
Yeah.
With the death marshals and the judge. But she stands out enough to definitely be the master in that group.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, here's this tiny blind woman. She must be the one in charge.
She must be the one in charge. But she's crouching. I don't know. Do leaders crouch? Leaders don't crouch. The other title of this episode.
Either Weird Likes Butts or Leaders Don't Crouch. Okay.
No, it's definitely Weird Likes Butts.
Yeah,
of course
yeah.
It's Weird Likes Butts.
It's a clickbaity title.
Weird does like butts.
We're going to get so many downloads just from the title.
Yeah!
Yeah!
And everyone's going to be disappointed.
Because we only talk about butts for like a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
And we make passing reference to the fact that Weird really enjoys sculpting butts, apparently.
Yeah! Moving on! I'm feeling awkward.
After Lady Justice.
I have McCabe.
Okay.
Huge gap between him and...
Rollins, yeah.
Rollins.
Yeah.
The horse really helps him stand out. And the off-the-horse pose is
not stupid.
Looks like he has balance. That whip is really nice. That seems like it'd be hard to keep from breaking, though, but...
I don't know, because Sybil has her vine whip type thing, and that stays together pretty well.
But that was really hard to put on the thing, and it did break a couple times.
Yeah, but now that it's put together and painted and varnished...
No, it broke after we painted it on the handle.
Oh, yeah. Huh.
Whips are difficult to keep together.
Whips are hard. Just to keep in mind, everybody.
Yeah. Well... He looks like, he definitely looks like a guild leader, because he's a bit cowboyish, and nothing terribly outstanding or evil-looking about him. The horse is really, really nice, gives us a nice 50mm master, which is the only one we had for a bit.
Yep.
Net gun. It's a net gun.
Gotta love that net gun.
Gotta love that net gun. Because everyone, once they hear about the net gun, they're like, thump.
Everybody does it.
There is a universal sound effect for the net gun that everyone knows.
Yep.
And it is thump. Oh, it looks cool. I wish there was, I don't know, maybe a hat. I'm not sure. It just feels like the model's missing a little bit of detail.
Yeah, a little bit. He could use a hat.
I'm not sure what.
Well, just get a set of hats and guns and put a cowboy hat on him.
Yeah.
But then he wouldn't look quite a bit like Wolverine, and everyone likes to describe him as Wolverine.
I thought it was just not Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones and Wolverine. Okay.
Next up.
Pass McCabe. C. Hoffman. Nothing wrong with C. Hoffman. C. Hoffman looks... Charles Hoffman looks great. He's in his mech suit. He's pondering something. I don't...
Sure, okay.
Like, he's leading robots, obviously, so that works really well with his box. Part robot himself. I don't know what I'm looking for. Shush.
Sure, whatever. I think he's boring.
Does anyone else have opinions on C. Hoffman?
I mean, he ranked up pretty high for me as well. You have him above where I put him, actually. Yeah, out of the box, it's easy to tell who's the leader. But, yeah, I mean, it's like the detail of the model is pretty good. There's a lot of fun things you can do with all the details.
He's not terribly dynamic, but neither is his playstyle, as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
He's a bit more of a control master, but the mech suit really makes him stand out. It's like, oh, this guy's powerful. I mean, I guess that wasn't all the criteria I had, is it does the model look powerful? And as opposed to like being in a wheelchair, yeah, he looks pretty darn powerful.
He does look way better than the first edition Hoffman.
Yeah, he's an improvement over his old model. I just still don't think he's
just a mess of limbs.
Yeah, it's not the most dynamic pose, but you know who the leader is, that kind of thing.
It's fairly dynamic, at least with the way he's holding his arm. They could be by his side.
Right. Yeah. What's he doing, though, like that?
He's threatening with his fisties. He's like, I'm gonna punch this, but not very hard. No one taught me how to fight.
I don't know how to punch.
Also, I like goggles. I have a soft spot for goggles.
Do you do it like this? And he just slaps you weakly with an open palm. Anyways.
Moving on. Jeez, I don't have, like, a lot to talk about these guys. It's weird. No, I'm just getting burned out because there's so many of them.
Probably.
Number two, Perdita.
I'm okay with this.
That's surprising for me. I wasn't a huge fan of that original model.
Ugh. It's one of the few times where I'm thinking simplicity is what makes it stand out for me. I mean, with her box, she doesn't quite stand out as a master, but since it's a family, I give it a pass.
Yeah.
It's
kind of hard to make somebody stand out among their family.
It's actually that that exact reason we gave for the Dreamer, why the Dreamer was so high. Is because Santiago's got this huge mustache, he's like barreling forward or whatnot, he's got his guns with the knives on the end. Francisco's got a huge hat, which is glorious, and this huge sword, and he's gonna come poke you with it. Nino's got his face covered in this big old Gatling sniper gun thing. I'm not sure how that gun works. Papa's got a, dynamite and a gun to his head. And then there's just Perdita with one gun pointed and a cowboy hat.
That makes her the scariest on her team.
Yes. She just needs a gun. Just one gun.
That's all she needs. But yeah, we did talk about with the Dreamer, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
That it's just this small human boy. Yeah, it's kind of the same philosophy. Whereas, oh, here's this woman who's pointing one gun at you when all of her other family members are clearly certifiable.
There's there's probably a better theory. Oh, sorry, Dave, what were you going to say?
No, I was going to say, I can see where you're getting with it. It kind of has the same issues I think we had with the Ironsides box, where it was, she kind of can kind of blend in, and other models to me look like they could be the master. Like, Captain looks more mastery to me than Ironsides. But yeah, like, I can see where you guys are coming from, because, yeah, Papa Loco is insane.
That's the point of his name, even.
Yeah, hence the name. But yeah, I guess from like, if you're looking at a fluff perspective, I can see it being making a lot more sense, because in the fluff, she does wrangle all of them together.
Well, I tried to give a non-fluff reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess I would go so far as to say, if they had access to the box, which included the back, and you say, oh, everyone's last name ends in Ortega, it's a family, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Then you could come to that conclusion. And as opposed to Ironsides, she takes up her base. She's got a wide stance.
Oh, yeah. She's got, like, barrel legs. Isn't that what you call it?
No, I call it the barrel stance because she could carry a barrel in between her legs. It'd be uncomfortable, but I'm pretty sure she could.
Yeah, she could do it.
She actually feels her base more than Captain does.
Oh, yeah. All those stance. And the cowboy hat's a nice touch. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I guess what I was going to say before is, there's got to be a better turf for her, but I'm going to call it now. There's a problem I have with a lot of games that's, I'm going to call cool bloat, they just try to make everything so cool and unique and different that you just get burned out on it. Everyone's got to have, like, two guns or five guns and bandoliers, and they're doing backflips, and they're super dark backstory, and it's that guy's secretly a vampire, and all this other junk. And so you come across just like the most cowboy model out there with just a cowboy hat and a gun.
Yep.
I appreciate it for that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I guess my critique with that is there are so many other models that are also cowboys with guns in the game.
I guess in reference to Masters.
Yeah.
But
as a whole, there's a lot.
Gilgard and I think Gunsmiths kind of have the same thing going on.
But they've got two guns.
But they've got multiple guns.
Well, Banditos also have two guns.
Well, Parker.
Parker has two guns.
Sue.
Has a guitar
that is on fire!
That just makes him like three times as cool.
And chicks, a gun.
Chicks dig guys with guns. Anyway.
And flaming guitars.
And flaming guitars.
I think one of the Banditos is just like fanning the flame.
Yeah.
I've been fanning my hair, yeah. So.
Anyway.
That's my Perdita. Reasoning, and I'm just going to stick with
Perdita's
it.
Perdita's up there, fine. That's why.
Okay, yeah. Anyone with great deduction skills and the ability to memorize a 13-person list.
Or see your list.
Yeah. Or
McMorning is your number one, right?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Doug loves McMorning.
Forever.
Done. Best model ever. Goodbye. Sonya Crid takes my number one spot. It's one of those models that makes me super curious and want to know more.
Yeah.
Because she's got, like, the flaming sword, and then she's got a lantern, and she's got this metal mask on her face.
The pose is very imposing.
Yes.
With the sword and the lantern. I think it's kind of cool that her character has progressed enough to have some genuine change from her first edition model.
Yeah.
Because she now has the metal mask.
Yeah, she does, doesn't she?
I think she's cool.
She is cool. I like her. I have her as my number two, so, you know, we kind of agree that she should be way up there.
Sonya actually started out higher in my list and then kind of just kept sliding down as I got through, like, Rollins and some of those other models. But yeah, she was one of the cooler models. Again, I do like the fireball sculpt quite a bit.
It's quite dynamic, but I don't think she necessarily needs it because the sword's on fire in this one.
Yeah.
It lets me know she's magical. I think I'm done. Does anyone else have any other things they want to put in?
I actually don't have anything else I want to fight with you about.
Dave?
Nope. Like, looking at her box, pretty clear that she is definitely one of the higher ranking people in the box.
You did that argument whether or not it's Samael, but...
Yeah. Samael has that big... Is that like a big trap kind of thing hanging off?
Bear trap.
Yeah.
It's got a bear trap.
But at the same time, Flaming Sword, I think, trumps Bear Trap.
Flaming Sword and almost a look of indifference, almost?
Yeah.
Like, she's imposing, but she's not necessarily directly threatening you.
Yeah.
Like, she can't be bothered with you? Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much all I've got to say. I think we fought mostly about the bottom of your list.
Yeah.
Like the middle was very contentious.
Took a lot of our time. That was great.
Of course.
So what we're going to do is now, since we got our new masters, but we've already gone through most of the factions, we're going to go ahead and sort of discuss real quickly what the factions we've gone over, what their master, how they would rank in amongst everyone else. So let's start with, Reva.
I would put Reva kind of up higher. She's got the horse, which is really cool. And she's got a lantern on that horse, which I also think is really neat.
She's riding side saddle.
She's
which
riding
actually
side saddle, which makes her a lady, so that's really neat, too.
Well, we won't really go over the fluff for spoiler reasons. It'd be a real dick to talk about her fluff.
It would.
In the same episode, we bitched about not being able to get the book and having to wait till September.
I think she would definitely be in my top four. Looking at my list here, so I think she would rank above Molly for me. Which I had Molly at four. But Karai, Nikodim, and Terra, I think, would still be more preferable for me.
I'd put her in probably in the middle of my list.
Yeah.
In the better half, I guess.
It's a very imposing, like, ominous model, the way she's on the horse.
It's ominous. It's not as threatening as I guess I would want a Rezzer Master to be.
She's not as straight-on threatening, no, but...
Yeah, which makes her weird for the faction.
Yeah.
But that's cool. I'm fine with that. Really, it's just... I have my favorites, so she's not going to be top. Tippy top. Because we had that long fight about Sheamus.
Yes, oh, yeah,
which I still think you're absolutely wrong.
It's okay.
You've kind of swayed me over your way of thinking about Sheamus. I'll admit.
Moving on, Sandeep.
Sandeep goes towards the top. He is such a cool-looking model.
I think he'd be in my top three, I think.
Yeah, I would actually probably put him at second or third. Vintage Raspy still takes it for me, but...
Yeah. No, Sandeep is really neat. He's huge, he's got a really dynamic sculpt.
Takes up all the space.
Look at that, he's got that flowy robe. Oh.
I think you could do a lot of cool things with basing for him.
Oh, yeah.
Put him on a surfboard, why not?
No.
pay someone money to see that.
Nope. No. The Gata looks a little bit weird, just because it looks like it's like some kind of ceremonial weapon, not something you'd actually smack people with.
Mm-hmm.
That's like my only complaint. And I could be 100% wrong with that.
Titania. Titania. She'd be smack dab in the middle of my list. She's a cool model. She's just not that cool. Also, the rest of her box is way cooler than she is.
What about you, dude?
Yeah. She'd be pretty middle for me.
We're all just agreeing.
Nope, I'm putting her, like, near the bottom.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Really?
We talked about this before. I find her really boring.
I think the wings are what propels her more towards the middle of the list for me.
I think, but my that goes along with my reasoning. I think you could pose the wings better.
Instead of just straight up?
Yeah.
That's fair.
Or even have them, like, partially wrapped around her.
Ooh. That'd be good.
And kind of a torn-up dress, and then bare legs, and bleedy eyes, or whatever. And also, her box really outshines her.
It really does. Like, everyone in her box looks cooler than she does.
Yeah, she wouldn't go on the bottom, but, nah, yeah, because Lucius sucks.
Lucius is the worst model.
There's one thing we can all agree on. Lucius sucks, McMorning sucks. Strictly by the sculpt, everyone, because, well, you know what? Send hate mail to us. I want someone to notice me. What?
Or, what? I'm sorry, Dave.
No, I was just saying, I'm a special snowflake. Pay attention to me.
Please! Give us reason to keep doing this, folks, or something. Yeah. We're not looking. Yeah.
The rest of Titania's box is way cooler.
Right?
Yeah.
So cool.
Like, Aslan, I would think, would be the leader. Aislinn, whatever.
Weird could come out with a pronunciation dictionary. It'd be very helpful.
That'd be helpful. Super helpful.
So I could just shove it in people's faces. Say it right! Last one, Parker Barrows.
Bottom.
Which you weren't here for.
Yeah, he's definitely going to be towards the bottom. I think he would rank above Leviticus for me. I'm not a big fan of the Leviticus model.
I mean, the cape blowing in the wind, or coat, or whatever people want to say it is, it's a nice dynamic thing he's got going on, but otherwise he's a guy with guns.
Yeah, another dude with guns.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can sort of get behind, like, he's a bandit, what exactly are you expecting from him? But he just doesn't even really stand out from his box, and that cape is going really hard.
That is a really strong wind. Why is he not struggling more against that wind?
That's exactly it. It's like, how's he not falling over? That's got to be super powerful wind.
He's on top of a train. It's fine. He's a cool guy on a train.
Well, if we put it like that, nah, still not good enough.
Nope.
Yeah, just looking at the artwork, he would definitely be towards the bottom for Outcast for me.
Oh my god, have we agreed on, like, every single one of these models?
Except for Titania. Well, you two have.
I had her in the middle, but after seeing the rest of her box, she would probably fall a bit farther.
I still put her towards the middle as far as being compared to the other masters in Rule of Cool.
Yeah, if you really like the wings, then she's going to be higher.
I like wings, what can I say?
Cool. Well, I think that's it for masters, unless you got something else, Dave?
I believe so.
If I'm chiming in for Outcast at all, I think my top three would be Misaki, Jackdaw, and Von Schill.
Oh, you want to give your opinion on Outcast and you weren't here?
Just the top three.
Just to chime in.
Yeah, I think Misaki, Jackdaw, and Von Schill in that order would be my top three.
Regular Misaki or vintage Misaki?
The weird kicky Misaki, I think, is the
correct.
Are we taking a break before we move on?
We're going to take a break. We'll come back with the characters we created, the models we created. All right. See you soon.
Bye.
Bye. Welcome to the last segment of Steam Powered Scandrels. Dave's jumping the gun there. And as we said we would do the last time Dave was on, we were going to come up with some new models.
Not terribly spent a whole ton of time balancing them, but just a fun little experiment I thought we could do, because everyone enjoys coming up with models they wouldn't see in the game. So, to make it a little bit more interesting, each one of us challenged another person to fit some sort of role they wanted the model to have. So, I challenged Victoria, saying that her model was to have no attack or tactical actions on its card. Victoria challenged Dave, saying that I probably should have gone ahead and mentioned that we were starting with peons in the Arcanist faction. We just rolled randomly. And then I challenged Victoria with the no attack or tactical actions. Dave got challenged by Victoria, saying that it had to have the academic characteristic. And then Dave challenged me, saying it had to deal something with slow or paralyzed, avoiding that somehow. You kind of were a bit vague on it.
Yeah.
A little bit.
We Arcanists don't have a ton of that sort of thing, so it sounded like something that was useful.
Unless they're, frozen hearts. But we have two instances of condition removal, but more is always nice.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyone want to go first?
I'll go first.
Victoria, I'll go first!
I had no attack or tactical actions. So I decided I kind of wanted to go with, like, a magician's familiar. So, do we want me to do the, stat track first, or...
Sure.
Okay, so for stats, I have it at a defense of 4. Willpower 6, 3 wounds, a walk of 5, no charge on it, and I wanted a height 1.
Cool.
And then for the junk on its front, I gave it nimble, incorporeal, flight, and then I want it to be able to borrow, I guess, a 1 AP cast action from the master and use it as a 2 AP action.
That makes sense?
Yeah. Okay.
So basically what we consider to be a familiar, sort of a portion or representation of...
Sort of like a spirit type...
Pet thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is kind of how totems are in the first place, but this one would be generic and focused on wizards type people.
Okay.
I didn't come up with a name for the borrowing mechanic. Deal with it.
That's okay. But what, I guess what's interesting about it as opposed to other... You said it was going to be a totem, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's interesting about it compared to other totems?
I got incorporeal in flight. I mean, that's kind of interesting to have both on one...
Insignificant model?
Yeah.
It'd be nice to... Well, could you throw in 0 actions?
You said no tactical actions.
No, I mean borrow
0 actions. Oh, borrow actions. 0 actions too? Sure.
So we had a bit of this, talked about this a little bit beforehand, and saying being able to borrow one of Karis's 0 actions and use it for 2 AP would be a lot better than her 1 AP actions in most cases, I think.
Okay.
But also giving it nimble allows you to move it before you can use those 2 AP.
Yeah, otherwise it's pretty crippled. Only be able to act once every other turn.
Mm-hmm. But it's a totem. It's not a lot, it's supposed to do a lot. And a peon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
I don't think so.
Okay. That was a bit difficult of a challenge. And that's a nice way to get around the nothing on the card. Just steal it from someone else. I guess, would it be like a borrow every time it activates sort of thing? Or would it be a... Because if the master's dead and the totem is still there, what can it do if it has to borrow every...
Run away, basically. So you don't want it.
Or do you choose at the beginning of the game?
Yeah.
Which one it has for the whole game?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, and then it could be that...
Just
be kind
have
of
a target model that you decide on.
Yeah. And then there's that limitation of, oh man, I should have grabbed this one, but I can't because I chose at the beginning of the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alright, Dave, you want to go first, or you want me to... I mean, second, or you want me to...
I can go. I didn't go through the whole, like, front of the card, like, damage track. It was more just the general idea. So, I would assume it'd be in the same range of, defense 4 or 5 kind of thing.
Yeah, we can discuss it after you.
Yeah. Mostly the idea was to have a, kind of a teacher's assistant with all the, academic models we have, and, for a tactical action, I'm not sure if it should be a 1 or a 2. Probably a 2, because this seems kind of powerful. But no, it would actually have to be a cast action for this to work. To target friendly model and based on the trigger, drop a marker. Scheme, corpse, scrap, whatever. Basically called a turning like pencils down, turning your homework kind of ability.
So it would be like one marker per trigger?
Yeah, it would be a specific marker per trigger. So like two masks would be a scheme. Or not two masks, like two books could be a scheme. Mask for a corpse. Ram for scrap or something.
I would think you'd maybe do a crow for a corpse.
That'd work, yeah. But there aren't enough markers for all the
yeah.
Bases.
Yeah, it's just, you know, crows, resurrectionists.
Yeah.
Is there anything arcanists could do with a corpse marker?
They can't, but that's kind of the risk of doing it. Would be, hey, I now have... There's now a corpse marker on the ground. If you're playing against Reva, that's real bad.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm.
So you would want to have to...
So it's kind of like a balancing thing on your model. Yeah.
Or if you're, you know, playing Marcus and you drop a scrap marker playing against Mei Fang, you're also going to have a real bad time. But you might luck out and drop a scheme marker. And since it's a peon or a minion, it can't cheat fate, so it can't cheat in a card. No, you can still cheat, duh.
Yeah, you can.
Rain farting. You can't stone. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm thinking. You can't stone for a suit.
So I think you would need to have it do something with that ram, or whatever trigger we don't have associated with it.
Yeah, whichever one's left.
You can have it do something positive or negative to the model.
Maybe give slow for like detention.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
So would this be, does it have to have like a resistance, right, and a target number?
Yeah, I would assume willpower.
Give it like a 5 or a 4, 4 or 5?
Somewhere around there, yeah. 4, 5, 4.
4.
Make it more difficult.
So it'd be easier to do on your models because you'd be relenting them.
Yeah.
I'm also guessing that you have to declare a trigger in that instance.
Yeah.
Like how the gremlins have to deal with that stuff. Is it like a human or?
I thought initially, this might sound too gremlinish, but maybe a gaiman kind of dressed up as a teacher.
That'd be amazing. But
that's pretty gremlin-y.
Well, you could make a dual faction if you really wanted to.
That's true.
That would be kind of neat, an arcanist gremlin dual faction, because we don't have those yet.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, just an academic gremlin.
So, does it have any attacks at all?
If it did, it would have to be a pretty low damage track, I would think.
Slap with book.
Like 1-2-2 with, I don't know, duh.
Just that is fine.
Yeah.
Or okay, a one-two damage track, and on a ram's called use the spine, you get +1 damage.
There we go. Yeah.
Or and on a crow, paper cut and give him +1.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Perfect.
Yeah. And maybe burn the midnight oil for one for causing burning.
It's great. It's good. Yeah. It's perfect. How much would it cost?
I would say probably 4 or 5 because peons don't really go above 5.
No. Would he be a totem?
That would make him... No, because there's generic totems. We don't really have a whole lot of generic totems.
In the Arcanist faction, we just have the
Essence of power. Yeah, it could be a totem, a generic totem. Don't see why not. It would just make it a rarity 1, essentially.
Yeah. And I could see maybe running 2 of them. But it would definitely be a higher point cost than a 4 or 5.
Yeah, if you could run more than 1.
No more than 2, I don't think. Then we're getting too much into tactics and balance and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So yeah, did a good job keeping the academic characteristics. I'm assuming a living as well and high 1?
Not a construct, because we have so many of them.
Aww.
Already. I mean, if it's a gremlin, it won't be a construct.
No, maybe. You never know. They're pretty creative.
True.
So, you're done?
Yeah.
Moving on to mine. I have what I'm calling a December initiate, which is basically a dude in robes. Possibly a girl in robes.
Somebody in robes.
Somebody in robes. You look very confused, Dave.
No, I'm just thinking everything is a gremlin.
So it's a couple gremlins stacked on top of each other in robes?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe. Maybe they want to join the Cult of December. Yeah. I don't think Raspi, you know, is racist like that.
No. Be fine.
So, you don't know her, she might be. Yeah. Maybe she's the worst racist.
Possible.
She's the head of the KKK.
Wow. Okay. Yep. Moving on. Living peon, obviously peon. I gave him like a defense 4, willpower 4, wounds 5, walk of 5, height of 2. Kind of your standard human. Nothing
standard
really
average human.
Interesting about him. Because this is basically people that have just joined the Cult of December in my mind. Insignificant, and I wasn't sure about disguised or frozen heart. I'm not exactly sure, should they be advanced in the cult enough to have frozen hearts? Maybe that'd be a bit too unbalanced.
Yes, maybe it depends on what they actually do.
Not much, but isn't any frozen heart a nightmare for Raspi?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's the...
I would think an initiate wouldn't be far enough into the cult to be frozen heart.
Okay. Then disguise them, give them some kind of defensiveness. Because they basically look normal. They only have one attack, which is a version of Teeth and Nails. Like a 1-2-3 damage track. Nothing interesting. They're just clawing and biting at people. And then the meat and potatoes, the thing equaling your challenge. And there's probably a better name. This name's probably used already in the game, but I call it Survival of the Fittest. Because Cult of December has an issue with cannibalism being a huge part of their religion, so I was like, we'll do this. 2 AP, friendly character within, like, 6, can see within 6, or, like, maybe put them really close to limit the power of this ability, can either gain frozen hearts until the end of their next activation, or heal 3.
But you sacrifice the initiative.
Yes.
Okay.
So maybe they're getting eaten, I guess. I wish I had not read Raspi's fluff a long time ago, because I'm having a hard time remembering it. But yeah, basically, model sacrificed, possibly eaten, giving frozen heart to a model for a turn, or healing. And it's not a ton of healing, plus you also lose the model, and frozen heart for one turn isn't going to be game-breaking, but it's sure would nice to not have to lose out on Howard Langston for an entire game.
That's kind of... Yeah, alright. Blood for the Ice God.
We gotta use that sometime.
That works because, yeah, you do get a pretty powerful ability, or it's a decent heal. You do lose the model, but it's not going to be doing much damage anyways. And it's insignificant, so it can't run schemes. And I can't remember, do insignificant models not count in, like, Turf War, Reconnoiter? I don't think they do.
Definitely not Reconnoiter.
Yeah.
I don't think they count for 4.
So they don't really hold anything by keeping them around. So yeah, run them up with Howard, make them frozen heart. Raspi then shoots through Howard. Howard finishes off whatever's there.
Yeah, and they'd have to be priced at like 3 or 4.
It's basically, yeah, the same cost as like a mobile toolkit or electric creation.
Yeah, ugh. So that'd be 4, definitely. Electric creation. Concerning what you can use electric creation for, they'd have to be 4.
Mm.
That's what I have. Slightly well thought out.
Yeah.
And then we annoyed the community, saying that they had to come up with a totem. And while I didn't get any direct replies, I posted out a thread on a weird place. And we got a couple of responses back. Just screw it. They were nice enough to give it to me. I'll read off the cards they made, because I think everyone made a freaking card.
Wow.
Which they put more effort in than we did. a little bit. First one, Spirit of Engineering. Peon, Spirit, Construct, Totem, cost 4. Track, 3 defense. 6 willpower, 4 wounds, 4 walk, no charge, height 1.
Who is this by?
This is by hunt.er. I think it's the word hunter with a period in it.
Okay.
Abilities, insignificant. I'm assuming a defense trigger?
That's what it looks like, yeah.
Defense trigger, well, it's not a... It's an auto trigger, I guess. Reduce any damage to 1, then the attacker may push this model up to X inches, where X is the number of damage prevented. So basically, it's got... It'll take 4 hits, but every time it's hit, the attacker gets to send it wherever they want.
Oh, the attacker, the player attacking chooses where it goes.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. And then another ability, unalterable. This model may not heal any wounds by itself or other models, and is immune to any conditions given by other models.
Okay.
So basically nothing affects it.
Okay. So it will definitely take 4 hits to kill.
Yep.
Yep.
4 and only 4. Attack actions. Glancing Kiss by a Muse. 1 AP, melee 6, resist defense, range 1 inch, target subber is 1, 1, 1 damage. After succeeding, this model may be pushed up to...
up to the walk printed on the stat card of the damaged model.
Thank you. Tactical action, 1, Flash of Genius, cast 5, target number 12, range 12. This action may only be taken once per activation. Place a scrap marker in base contact with target model. And then 4 triggers. Tomes is... until the end of the turn, target adds +1 burning to all of its attack actions. Crows, until the end of the turn, target adds 1 poison to all its attack actions. Rams is a plus flip damage. Mask is a plus flip to attack flips.
That seems quite powerful.
Yeah, but that's limited to once. It's kind of like a toolkit a bit, but not limited just to constructs.
I'm just thinking following Joss or Howard around.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, man.
In a Mayfang group or a Ramos crew. It's because you're dropping a scrap marker each time you cast it.
Oh. Yeah, I didn't think about that. Oh, that'd be deadly. But of course, there's decent ways to deal with it. You just smack it really hard and you can send it wherever you want.
Yeah. Flurry or send something with a decapitate at it.
Oh, yeah. There's not a whole ton of decapitators out there.
No.
Moving on. Crozan Reaper. Is the next guy. Timmy the Orphan, and MNSU mascot. Long name, but I love it.
Amusing.
Cost 3, Peon, Living Totem, MNSU, keywords. 4-4-4-4, no charge, height 1. Insignificant, manipulative. They didn't give a specific on the manipulative.
It just says X, but you know.
Something. It's manipulative something. And then the unique ability, Just a Child. This model takes only walk actions. It does not count as having activated for the purposes of manipulative.
Ooh.
Okay.
And the other ability, If he can fight, so can we! Minions and MNSU models within 4 inches have hard to kill.
Wow.
That's pretty good. You're probably going to be using it more for the minions part than the MNSU part, because a lot of MNSU models have hard to kill.
Yeah.
Still good, though.
Attack actions. 1 attack action. Rocks.
I assume throwing rocks?
Yes. Melee attack 3. Or melee attack with a range.
Yeah.
Range 6 or 1 inch. Resist defense. Targets over 0, 1, 2 damage. Not where you're going to be using him for.
Yeah.
Then tactical action. 2 AP. Union Song. Cast 5. Target number 15. So you need a 10 to get this sucker off. And he actually puts a range of a pulse of 6? RO6? RO6 makes more sense. This ability must declare triggers if able. There's a trigger for every suit. Masks is minions and MNSU. So all these affect minions and MNSU models. Mask is plus flip to will power duels. Rams is plus flip to attack flips. Tomes is plus flips to damage flips. Crows is plus flips to defense duels. That can be really powerful.
That's a neat idea.
Yeah, how many wounds would this thing have?
It's a child.
He's got 4.
He's got 4 wounds.
Oh, there it is. There's wounds. Okay. Huh.
No, he would be cool.
Yeah.
And powerful, but pretty easy to take down. I mean, manipulative, if you want to get past manipulative, you're going to get past manipulative.
God, that's hard to say.
And it doesn't lose manipulative if you just move. So yeah, just get it in position somewhere safe, and then sing its fool head off.
I like the idea of, like, the revolutionary type aspect of Arcanist, yeah, since there's not a lot of that present in the models.
Have it be like a little drummer boy, maybe?
Yeah.
That one's pretty cool.
Another person suggested just changing the essence of power.
So someone will take it besides Raspy?
Yeah, basically letting it take its two AP action as one, so it could actually move a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see them maybe being used with Sand Deep a bit. Just put them behind, like, a block of Oxfordian mages who aren't going to be moving a ton either.
True.
Okay, one more. By Hydranix?
Sure.
These forum names are just great. Don't give a name, but Four Souls Dawn, Beyond Insignificant. Defense of 3, Willpower 6, Wound 6, Wounds 4, Walk 4. No charge, height 1. Incorporeal, Accomplice, an ability called Spellcaster's Conduit. Friendly Arcanist models within 4 inches of this model may add 2 inches to the range of all cast actions. That's nice.
That is nice.
Isn't that something that Oxfordian mages have?
No.
I thought they had some sort of range thing. Maybe not. It's been a while since I looked at the card.
That would be nice to use with them, though.
Anyways.
Because they only got a range of 10 currently.
Yeah.
And then Spark of Innovation. Once per turn, when a friendly Arcanist model within 4 inches activates Essence of... Okay, so it's another redo of Essence of Power. Essence of Power may suffer 1 damage and gain the slow condition. They give the model the falling condition until the end of its activation. Inspired, this model adds +1 to all cast actions until the end of the turn. So you can just sort of focus that down instead of just doing it for all of them within a pulse.
Yeah.
Or aura, or what? I can't remember. One attack, dissipate magic, cast 5, resist willpower, range 12. Target model suffers 0-0-1 damage. It gains the falling condition until the end of its next activation. Nullified, this model loses all inbuilt suits in cast actions when declaring cast actions, and receives -1 to the dual total.
Wow.
Yeah. That's actually really nice.
Yeah.
And then, 2 AP, I'm assuming tactical action, knowledge at any cost. Cast 5, target number 10. If successful, sacrifice Essence of Power. All Arcanist models within 4 inches gain the falling condition until the end of the turn. Erratic Insight. This model receives -1 to all cast actions. If a cast action attack, this model performs kills an enemy model, draw a card. And on a double tome, after performing this cast action, draw a card. So you have less chance of hitting them, but if you kill someone, you draw a card. Neat.
Okay.
And that's it for all suggestions. I will, of course, post our next one in the appropriate form slot.
Those were all really well thought out compared to mine.
It's great what people can come up with.
Yeah.
So, well, I guess we do need to go into our next one. Rolled the dice again. And this time we came up with the 10 Thunders faction. So we're not completely biased towards Arcanist. And we also rolled that it would be minions. So 10 Thunders minions is what we got to come up with next. And we're going to switch around the challenges. So I have to challenge Dave instead of Victoria. Dave, for your 10 Thunders minion, the 10 Thunders are supposed to be inclusion of Japan, China, and Korea into one large group. The thing is I don't see a lot of Korea represented in its models. So what you have to do is you have to make a Korean-based 10 Thunders minion.
Okay.
That means you gotta, like, look up history and all that fun stuff.
Okay.
You can just do, like, a Hwacha, whatever those things are, because you don't want to give them an upgrade.
Oh, I was just gonna make a StarCraft player.
just put D.Va out on the field.
Yeah.
Would she be a minion, though?
Out of her suit, sure.
Maybe. Right, I'm not going to accept D.Va as a 10 Thunders minion. Dave, you need to challenge Victoria.
Yeah, a lot of the times, the times that I've seen some 10 Thunders played, they are kind of range based. Like I've seen lots of the snipers, the archers, and so I was kind of thinking maybe have a minion with 3-inch reach or 3-inch melee range. Something that reaches out and touches somebody from a good distance away.
All right.
So gross noodle arms or whips.
And Doug, for you, just for fun.
Just for fun?
Just for funsies.
Just for fun.
Thanks for adding that to your notes there, Dave.
Hey, I gotta make sure I remind myself. Not
you got Doug. A shared Google Docs, and Dave just put next to his notes that he cannot use D.Va for a Tenth Thunder minion.
So anyway, just for fun, for you, Doug, I want you to come up with something either inspired by or pulled directly from anime.
Oh, God. I quit. We're done.
Oh, just totally make Naruto with all the tails.
Please stop.
Yeah.
Please stop. Isn't that kind of Shang anyways?
What?
One kick girl.
Yes. One kick girl. Now, there's probably some historical stuff that I can pull from that still has supernatural elements to it.
Probably.
But it wouldn't be tired. It'll be fun. And then we still have the challenge for the audience. And hopefully people will send stuff in, but I'll also post the thread. So regardless, we should get some feedback. And I completely forgot what that was. What was it, Victoria?
We wanted it to be a minion that costs 4 soul stones.
No, that's not what it was.
What?
Did we change it?
Yeah.
We did? Oh, yeah.
What was it?
That's right.
What was it, Dave?
We wanted to bring in the Yakuza.
Oh, yeah.
God, we're done.
Whoops, we just talked about this, too.
So, minion model that has to be Yakuza in some form, because people always, I think people always talk about how the Ten Thunders is kind of the Mafia in Malifaux, but we don't really get things that really look like the Mafia, and that's the closest we can get with us still keeping the Asian theme. So, I know the Yakuza were probably formed after Cowboy Time, but who cares? Make us some Yakuza. I think that does for the segment. We are running quite late. Everyone wants to get to sleep. Really glad we finally got this done. Hopefully the next episode won't take us another month. Thank you for showing up, Dave.
Yep.
Hope the brewing goes well.
Thank you,
Victoria, for staying awake despite having to get up early in the morning. You guys got any closing statements, arguments?
Arcanists are still the one true faction.
Oh, Jesus. I'm still waiting for the hate mail on that.
Yeah, it's gonna happen eventually.
Alright, so everyone go out there, enjoy your butts on your models. Or just butts in general. And always remember, fun is always king. Thank you, and bye.